In 1994, two Harvard psychiatrists published a book that would forever change how we understand attention. Driven to Distraction introduced millions to attention deficit disorder, bringing a misunderstood condition into the mainstream. 25 years later, Edward Hollowell and John Rady return with ADHD 2.0, offering groundbreaking insights that challenge everything we thought we knew about this condition. Far from being just another mental health book, ADHD 2.0 has become required reading for educators, parents, and business leaders alike. Celebrities from Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps to entrepreneur Richard Branson have openly discussed their ADHD diagnoses, helping destigmatize what was once considered merely a childhood behavior problem. The book's influence extends beyond psychology into popular culture, with its Ferrari engine with bicycle brakes metaphor becoming a touchstone for understanding neurodiversity in everything from TED Talks to corporate training programs. ADHD manifests across an extraordinary spectrum of human experience, from the disorganized child, frustrating parents and teachers, to the brilliant executive who keeps missing opportunities, from struggling addicts to wildly successful entrepreneurs, ADHD appears in countless forms. What unites these diverse presentations is a distinctive cognitive style. Ideas constantly firing like kernels in a popcorn machine, a mind that can't be turned off. This perpetual mental activity can be both a blessing and a curse, leading to innovation but also exhaustion. This condition creates remarkable paradoxes that challenge conventional understanding of attention and focus. People with ADHD often display an inability to focus on mundane tasks alongside periods of hyperfocus so intense they forget to eat, skip appointments, and lose track of time completely. They may lack direction in their career path, yet possess extraordinary entrepreneurial drive, evidenced by successful ADHD figures like Richard Branson and JetBlue founder David Neeleman. They procrastinate chronically, yet produce astonishing work under deadline pressure, often completing days' worth of work in mere hours when properly motivated. Their impulsivity, while causing social and professional challenges, enables rapid creative problem-solving and unique approaches to challenges. Many are chronically disorganized in their daily lives, yet can maintain meticulously detailed systems in areas of passion, from comic book collections to complex scientific research. This selective attention reveals that ADHD isn't simply an attention deficit, but rather an attention regulation difference. The ADHD mind embodies what Shakespeare described as the lunatic, the lover, and the poet. While not truly lunatic, those with ADHD feel comfortable with uncertainty and risk-taking that makes others anxious, often thriving in emergency rooms, trading floors, or startup environments. As lovers, they possess unbridled optimism, seeing limitless possibilities where others see obstacles, though this can lead to overcommitment and scattered efforts. The poet manifests as creativity, dreaminess, and emotional depth, an irrepressible urge to create something new, often resulting in innovative solutions and artistic expression. Their kryptonite? Boredom. When understimulated, the ADHD brain launches an immediate, reflexive search for stimulation, whether constructive or destructive. This explains why many with ADHD excel in high-pressure environments yet struggle with routine tasks like paperwork or repetitive assignments. Their brains aren't deficient in attention, but rather overflowing with it, lacking the filters that typically regulate focus. This can lead to both remarkable achievements and significant challenges in managing daily life, requiring careful structuring of environments and tasks to harness their unique cognitive style effectively. The ADHD mind often functions like a Ferrari engine with bicycle brakes, powerful but difficult to control. Understanding this paradox is crucial for developing effective strategies to harness its strengths while managing its challenges. Many successful individuals with ADHD have learned to create environments and systems that work with rather than against their unique cognitive style effectively. Recent advances in brain science have transformed our understanding of ADHD, moving far beyond simplistic behavioral observations to detailed neurological insights. Through sophisticated imaging techniques like fMRI, PET scans, and EEG monitoring, researchers can now measure brain molecules, electrical activity, blood flow, and regional brain sizes to understand exactly how the ADHD brain functions differently. This research has revealed that ADHD isn't simply a disorder, but a fundamentally different way the brain is wired, with distinct structural and functional characteristics. The key to understanding ADHD lies in the relationship between two critical brain networks. When engaged in tasks, your brain activates the Task Positive Network, TPN, what the authors call the angel mindset that keeps you focused and productive. This network includes regions like the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex and the anterior cingulate cortex, which are crucial for attention, working memory, and executive function. When your mind wanders, you default to the default mode network, DMN, which enables creativity, self-reflection, and imagination, but can become the demon for ADHD brains, trapping them in rumination and negative thought patterns. In neurotypical brains, these networks operate in elegant opposition. When one activates, the other deactivates, like a well-choreographed dance. But in ADHD brains, this toggle switch is faulty. When the TPN is turned on, the DMN remains partially active too, competing for attention and causing distraction. This is why someone with ADHD might be trying to focus on work, but simultaneously find themselves thinking about weekend plans or reliving past conversations. Additionally, within the DMN itself, the front and back regions work against each other rather than in synchrony, creating an off-kilter brain state that contributes to emotional dysregulation. This neural architecture explains several hallmark features of ADHD, including the confluence of creativity and depression often seen in the same person. When the DMN brings creative insights and novel connections, it's a golden tool that can lead to innovative thinking and unique problem-solving approaches. However, when it hijacks consciousness with negative thoughts, it becomes the demon, the seed of misery and despair, leading to anxiety and depression. This same hunger for stimulation and difficulty with network regulation drives the high addiction rates in people with ADHD, who are 5 to 10 times more likely to develop substance problems than the general population. The brain's reward circuits, particularly in the nucleus accumbens and ventral tegmental area, are less responsive in ADHD, leading individuals to seek more intense stimulation through various means. Understanding these neurological differences has profound implications for treatment approaches, suggesting that interventions should focus not just on symptom management, but on helping individuals harness their unique brain wiring for success, while developing strategies to manage its challenges. One of the most exciting discoveries in ADHD research involves the cerebellum, a brain region traditionally associated with physical coordination and balance. In 1998, neurologist Jeremy Schmaman revolutionized our understanding with his paper Dysmetria of Thought, revealing the cerebellum's critical role in regulating not just physical balance, but emotional equilibrium and cognitive processes. This groundbreaking research challenged decades of conventional wisdom that limited the cerebellum's role to motor control. The cerebellum, though only 10% of brain volume, contains 75% of brain neurons, making it one of the most densely packed neural regions. It works in concert with the vestibular system, inner ear, as a sophisticated gyroscope for balance and movement coordination. Through extensive clinical studies, Schmaman discovered that the cerebellum acts as an oscillation dampener that stabilizes thinking, emotion, and behavior, without conscious effort, essentially providing the brakes for the ADHD Ferrari engine. This dampening effect helps explain why individuals with ADHD often struggle with impulse control and emotional regulation. Multiple MRI studies have consistently shown that the cerebellar vermis, the central part of the cerebellum, is slightly smaller in people with ADHD, with volume reductions ranging from 3 to 12%. This anatomical difference suggests that strengthening the cerebellum through targeted exercises might enhance control over thought and emotion, improving the braking system of the ADHD brain. Research indicates that the cerebellum remains plastic throughout life, making it an attractive target for therapeutic intervention. Several innovative treatments now aim to strengthen cerebellar function through specialized balance exercises. Frank Belgau's Balance Board pioneered this approach in the 1960s, recognizing the connection between balance and learning difficulties. His early work with learning disabled children showed improvements in reading speed and comprehension after balance training. More recently, programs like Zing Performance offer customized exercises that include rotational, lateral, and vertical stimulation to strengthen the vestibulocerebellar system. These exercises range from simple balance activities to complex movement patterns that challenge both motor coordination and cognitive function. While awaiting rigorous scientific validation, these approaches show promising results, with Zing reporting significant success in treating ADHD symptoms in 80% of its 50,000 participants over a 5-year period. Even more intriguing is Dr. Harold Levinson's controversial work using motion sickness medications like meclizine and dramamine for ADHD. His research suggests that these medications may help stabilize cerebellar function by modulating vestibular input. While considered outside mainstream treatment, Levinson's approach may gain more respect as evidence mounts about the vestibulocerebellar system's role in attention regulation. Recent studies using advanced imaging techniques have revealed extensive connections between the cerebellum and attention networks, supporting the potential validity of vestibular-based treatments. This emerging understanding of the cerebellum's role in ADHD has sparked new research directions, including investigations into novel therapeutic approaches combining traditional ADHD medications with cerebellar-targeted interventions. Some researchers are exploring the use of non-invasive brain stimulation techniques specifically targeting cerebellar regions, while others are developing more sophisticated balance training protocols using virtual reality technology. ADHD doesn't exist in isolation. It thrives or struggles within the context of human relationships. Dr. Vincent Folletti's groundbreaking work on adverse childhood experiences, ACEs, revealed how childhood trauma correlates dramatically with adult health problems, with individuals having 4 or more ACEs being 460% more likely to experience depression. ADHD families often have higher ACEs scores due to the condition's challenging behaviors, creating cycles of dysfunction that compound over generations through increased stress, conflict, and emotional volatility. However, positive connection, what Hallowell calls vitamin connect, offers remarkable healing power. Columbia psychiatrist Kelly Harding documented this in The Rabbit Effect, where rabbits receiving affection from a lab technician showed 60% fewer fatty deposits despite high-fat diets. This finding parallels numerous human studies showing how supportive relationships reduce cortisol levels, boost immune function, and enhance emotional regulation. Harvard's Grant study, the longest-running study of adult development spanning over 80 years, concluded that love was the single most important predictor of health, longevity, and happiness, surpassing wealth, genetics, or social status. Creating positive, connected environments is crucial for everyone, but especially vital for those with ADHD. Bruce Alexander's concept of dislocation, the loss of psychosocial integration, perfectly describes how many with ADHD feel, misunderstood, alienated, and excluded. This disconnection leads to numerous negative outcomes, from disruptive behavior to depression, with studies showing that ADHD individuals are 3 times more likely to experience social rejection than their neurotypical peers. What people with ADHD need isn't punishment, but understanding. Dr. Halliwell shares his own first grade experience with dyslexia, where his teacher, Mrs. Eldridge's simple act of putting her arm around him while he struggled to read, became his treatment plan, preventing the real learning disabilities of fear, shame, and believing you can't do something. This experience shaped his understanding that emotional safety creates the foundation for learning and growth. To create connection, Halliwell recommends practical strategies like having regular family meals, shown to reduce risk-taking behaviors by 40%, adopting pets for unconditional love, which reduces stress hormones and increases oxytocin, establishing routines at local shops to create community, maintaining regular contact with good friends, and scheduling one-on-one special time with children. For children with ADHD, success often hinges more on finding inspiring mentors than on grades, study habits, or IQ. Research shows that having just one supportive adult relationship in childhood reduces the risk of negative outcomes by over 50%. These connections serve as protective factors, creating what Halliwell calls a connected childhood, an environment where ADHD symptoms can be managed more effectively through understanding, support, and positive reinforcement rather than criticism and punishment. Regular positive interactions, even brief ones, build resilience and create neural pathways that support better emotional regulation and attention control. People with ADHD possess natural creativity and originality, thinking along unusual lines with a persistent drive to create something, whether a business, boat, book, or other project. When this creative urge goes unsatisfied, they feel listless or depressed. Jobs beneath their creative abilities lead to disinterest, with boredom being their kryptonite, while positions demanding skills they lack lead to crushing defeat. However, when they find their perfect creative outlet, what Dr. Halliwell calls their right difficult, they light up like a Christmas tree. This is where ADHD traits transform from liabilities into assets. The key is identifying where your unique strengths lie rather than focusing exclusively on weaknesses. To identify your strengths, Halliwell recommends a simple assessment. What are you best at doing? What do you enjoy most? What brings you praise? What are your goals? This inventory reveals crucial information about where you might excel. For children, sharing these strengths with teachers can transform their educational experience by incorporating interests into learning. The Kolbe Index Test offers another valuable tool, uncovering your innate cognitive style, how you naturally take action and exert effort. Most people with ADHD score low in fact finder, information gathering, and follow through, organization, but high in quick start, risk taking, and innovation. Understanding these natural tendencies helps identify where you'll thrive and explains why certain tasks feel impossibly difficult despite your intelligence. The single biggest obstacle to progress after an ADHD diagnosis is the refusal to accept help. As Dr. Halliwell explains, the realistic goal in life is not to be independent, but to be effectively interdependent. Success comes from delegating what you're bad at so you can focus on your strengths, finding your right difficult, rather than wasting years in frustrating and foolish pursuit of the impossible. From the beginning of ADHD treatment, environmental factors have been recognized as crucial. For those with attention issues, creating the right environment, a stellar environment, can make an enormous difference in managing symptoms and maximizing potential. Environment profoundly influences how our genes express themselves, determining whether genetic predispositions manifest as disorders. Many adults only discover their ADHD when environmental changes overwhelm their coping mechanisms. A new mother might attribute her frenzied disorganization to mommy brain until she realizes its underlying ADHD revealed by sleep deprivation and increased demands. While some environmental factors remain beyond our control, five key areas demand attention: daily structure, nutrition, sleep, surrounding yourself with positivity, and accepting appropriate help. though creating structure doesn't come naturally to the ADHD mind, which typically resists constraints, it provides essential boundaries that prevent chaotic derailment. For ADHD-friendly homes, focus on creating a safe haven with a playful attitude, genuine expression, sufficient structure to prevent chaos, daily shared meals, collective worry sharing, encouragement of self-assertion, resolution of conflicts before bedtime, pet companionship if possible, abundant laughter without ridicule, gentle honesty, expressions of gratitude, and mutual support. In classrooms, advocate for low fear and high trust atmospheres, prohibition of shaming, clearly posted rules, connection-promoting seating arrangements, Socratic teaching methods that encourage dialogue rather than lectures, project-based learning, innovation encouragement, and frequent movement breaks. Nutrition plays a crucial role in brain function. The ADHD brain needs proper fuel, whole foods, fresh produce, healthy fats, and good proteins while avoiding processed foods, additives, and especially sugar, which triggers dopamine release that the ADHD brain craves but leads to crashes. Universally recommended supplements include multivitamins, vitamin D, magnesium, B complex, vitamin C, calcium, zinc, and omega-3 fatty acids. For better sleep, essential for ADHD management, turn off electronics at least an hour before bedtime. Charge devices outside your bedroom, make your sleeping space as dark as possible, and keep your bedroom cool with fresh air or fans. Exercise stands as one of the most powerful non-medical tools for managing ADHD symptoms. Beyond traditional cardiovascular benefits, it uniquely prepares the brain to expand, learn, and change better than any other activity. It creates a comprehensive improvement in mood, motivation, focus, and emotional regulation while reducing anxiety, making it precisely what medical professionals should prescribe as a first-line intervention for ADHD management. The science behind exercise's impact is compelling and multifaceted. Physical activity triggers a cascade of brain-beneficial effects, most notably the release of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, often described as miracle grow for the brain. This protein creates fertile conditions for new neural growth and strengthens existing neural connections. Physical activity uniquely engages more nerve cells than any other human activity, significantly boosting crucial neurotransmitters like dopamine and norepinephrine, the exact same chemical messengers targeted by traditional ADHD medications. Exercise functions essentially as a natural stimulant, temporarily correcting dopamine deficits in the ADHD brain. It improves connectivity between various brain networks, particularly activating the frontal cortex, often called the brain's CEO, to enhance executive function and focus. Multiple studies demonstrate that just 20-30 minutes of moderate exercise can significantly improve reaction speed, cognitive precision, and planning skills in individuals with ADHD. For instance, one study found that children who exercised before school showed 40% fewer disruptive behaviors throughout the day. The remarkable classroom transformation achieved by teacher Allison Cameron serves as a compelling real-world example. By introducing exercise equipment that students used for 20 minutes during each 45-minute class period, she witnessed dramatic improvements. Daily attendance rose from 67% to 98%, suspensions dropped to zero, and perhaps most impressively, reading levels increased by 4 grade levels in just 4 months. Similar programs implemented in schools across North America have reported comparable success rates. Balance and coordination training have shown particular promise in improving attention and self-control. Martial arts programs, combining physical activity with demands for focus, precision, and emotional control, have demonstrated exceptional effectiveness. Studies show that children in martial arts programs show significant improvements in self-control and attention span after just 3 months. Yoga has emerged as another powerful tool, uniquely combining balance training with mindful body awareness and breath control, making it particularly beneficial for those with ADHD. regular practitioners report improved impulse control and reduced anxiety levels. While there's no universal exercise formula for ADHD, research supports a minimum of 20 minutes of daily physical activity. The ideal weekly exercise regime should include four key components: regular aerobic activity, like running, swimming, or cycling, balance training exercises, focused fitness activities that demand attention, such as dance, team sports, or martial arts, and strength training. Additionally, exercising outdoors in natural settings provides supplementary benefits, with studies showing that green exercise can enhance attention span by up to 20% compared to indoor activities. For optimal results, experts recommend varying exercise routines to maintain engagement and target different aspects of physical and mental fitness. Morning exercise appears particularly beneficial, with studies showing improved focus and reduced symptoms throughout the school or workday. The key is consistency and finding activities that are both enjoyable and challenging enough to maintain interest over time. The question, "Do you believe in Ritalin?" reveals how ADHD medications have become polarizing hot-button issues rather than scientific treatments. While long-term success depends on skill building, finding the right environment, and developing positive connections, medication provides the most immediate and effective short-term benefit when prescribed properly. A comprehensive 2018 meta-analysis of 133 randomized studies confirmed that ADHD medications are effective 70 to 80% of the time. Those who disparage medication often haven't witnessed the transformative relief it brings to suffering patients, turning years of struggle into success and joy within days. Deciding whether to start medication is a significant decision. While non-pharmaceutical treatments have merit, waiting to try medication is like squinting before trying eyeglasses. However, medication works best when you genuinely want to take it, leveraging the powerful placebo effect. ADHD medication isn't one size fits all. Finding the right medication often requires patience and multiple trials, potentially combining different medications at different times. Stimulants are the most effective ADHD medications with the fewest side effects, showing 70 to 80% efficacy rates. They come in two main categories: methylphenidate types, Concerta, Ritalin, Focalin, and amphetamine types, Adderall, Dexedrine, Vyvanse. Though counterintuitive, stimulants actually raise dopamine and norepinephrine levels, neurotransmitters deficient in the ADHD brain, essentially stimulating the brain's braking system. Dopamine helps nerve cells transmit information cleanly, reduces mental noise, and increases motivation, while norepinephrine improves arousal and sensory processing. Taking stimulant medication early in life actually helps prevent addiction, not promote it. Long-term studies show that properly treated ADHD patients become addicted to substances far less frequently than both the general population and untreated ADHD patients. In fact, untreated ADHD teens are 5 to 10 times more likely to develop substance addiction. While genetic testing for psychiatric medication selection isn't yet definitive, it can provide valuable information about how quickly a patient metabolizes certain medications. Companies like Tempus offer comprehensive testing that may reveal important biomarkers, making genetic testing increasingly practical for routine medication prescribing. The future of ADHD treatment lies in personalized approaches that combine medication with environmental optimization, connection building, strength finding, and physical activity, transforming what was once seen as purely a disorder into a unique cognitive style with both challenges and remarkable gifts.